7.1. The Mahatma sees great virtue in a Brahmin remaining a Brahmin all his life, leaving aside the fact that there are many Brahmins who do not like to remain Brahmins all their lives. What can we say about those Brahmins who have clung to their ancestral calling of priesthood? Do they do so from any faith in the virtue of the principle of ancestral calling? Or do they do so from motives of filthy lucre? The Mahatma does not seem to concern himself with such queries. He is satisfied that these are real Brahmins who are living on alms freely given to them and giving freely what they have of spiritual treasures. This is how a hereditary Brahmin priest appears to the Mahatma, a carrier of spiritual treasures. 7.2. But another portrait of the hereditary Brahmin can also be drawn. A Brahmin can be a priest to Vishnu, the god of love. He can be a priest to Shankar, the god of destruction. He can be a priest at Buddha Gaya, worshipping Buddha, the greatest teacher of mankind who taught the noblest doctrine of love. He also can be a priest to Kali, the goddess who must have a daily sacrifice of an animal to satisfy her thirst for blood. He will be a priest of the temple of Rama, the Kshatriya god. He will also be a priest of the temple of Parshuram, the god who took on an avatar to destroy the Kshatriyas. He can be a priest to Brahma, the creator of the world. He can be a priest to a peer, whose god Allah will not brook the claim of Brahma to share his spiritual dominion over the world. No one can say that this is a picture which is not true to life. 7.3. If this is a true picture, one does not know what to say of this capacity to bear loyalties to gods and goddesses whose attributes are so antagonistic that no honest man can be a devotee to all of them. The Hindus rely upon this extraordinary phenomenon as evidence of the greatest virtue of their religion, namely, its Catholicity, its spirit of toleration. As against this facile view, it can be urged that what is toleration and Catholicity may be really nothing more creditable than indifference or flaccid latitudinarianism. These two attitudes are hard to distinguish in their outer seeming, but they are so vitally unlike in their real quality that no one who examines them closely can mistake one for the other. 7.4. That a man is ready to render homage to many gods and goddesses may be cited as evidence of his tolerant spirit. But can it not also be evidence of an insincerity born of a desire to serve the times? I am sure that this toleration is merely insincerity. If this view is well-founded, one may ask, what spiritual treasure can there be within a person who is ready to be a priest and a devotee to any deity which it serves his purpose to worship and to adore? Not only must such a person be deemed to be bankrupt of all spiritual treasures, but for him to practice so elevating a profession as that of a priest, simply because it is ancestral, without faith, without belief, merely as a mechanical process handed down from father to son, is not a conservation of virtue. It is really the prostitution of a noble profession, which is no other than the service of religion.